2 weeks and I've heard your stories, life has thrown some curveballs at you. Life hasn't been as smooth as you might have hoped it would be. And so I wanted to share with you some rules for life that leadership guru John Maxwell has given us. And here's his rules for life. Number one, you will learn lessons. Isn't that exciting? You will learn lessons. I'm not too sure about number two. He says, number two, there are no mistakes, only lessons. I don't know about that. I've made a lot of mistakes. But he says, no mistakes, only lessons. Number three, a lesson is repeated until it is learned. That's exciting, isn't it? Number four, if you don't learn the easy lesson, they get harder. I'm just full of good news this morning. And number five, you'll know you've learned a lesson when your actions change. That's when you know you've learned a lesson. Now, sometimes, and those are just rules for life. And the thing is about rules is sometimes rules can be very good. We all live our lives by rules. Rules on the road, there we go. I'm just going to go through all these for you. Isn't it good that we all follow rules of the road? Some of us do. But sometimes rules can kind of make things worse. And this message is really a lot about rules and rule keeping. Because it's about my values. And these are biblical values. And Jesus had to say some things about rules. But I'll get that to that in a minute. When I was growing up, one of the big areas of controversy was Christian music. Isn't it good that we've settled all that now? Over 30 years of fighting, we got this all done. No. But this is the kind of music that I would listen to, Christian rock. And I was told by people who were in authority over me, there was a rule. You should not listen to rock music, any kind of rock music. This was the rule. And so I had this tension in my life where, on the one hand, I had people that I respected saying, don't listen to any rock music. And on the other hand, I was being completely blessed by this rock music that was telling me and calling me to pray and read the Bible more and calling me into a greater devotion with God. And so I was in this tension. I couldn't figure out, well, what was I to do? So, as I might have said before, I did something outrageous. I started to read the Bible. And I started to ask questions. And this was the question that I asked. And I didn't realize it was so revolutionary at the time, but this was the question that I asked. Where does it say that in the Bible? The rule was don't listen to rock music. My question was, where does it say that in the Bible? There was no answer for that question. And I began to ask that question more and more and more. Where does it say that in the Bible? The thing is, the church has been very good over the last couple of millennia in making rules. You might not be aware of this. This is good. But let me just inform you, the church has been pretty good about making rules that aren't found in the Bible. Here's one that I found. I didn't know this. At one point, there was a rule in the church, you cannot laugh. What you just did a few seconds ago is heretical. Yeah, and shame on me, I'm a heretic. You can't laugh in church. Church is serious business. No laughing. That was the rule. Can you imagine? Wow, that must have been fun, eh? Here's another rule. I had no idea. Did you know that Johann Sebastian Bach was considered to be a heretic by some? You know what his crime was? Do you know? No? No, that would have been good. He used his thumbs on the keyboard. Can you imagine? He used all 10 digits. Terrible. It's heretical. The rule was, don't use your thumbs. And today, the church continues to make rules about what media you can watch, what church music is best, what schooling option for parents is the wisest, and so on and so on. And this message is about values, things actually found in the Bible. And the thing is about our values is our values help us to make decisions. And so as I said on Facebook, and you can follow a lot of my thoughts on Facebook if you haven't already, is that when we take a good look at our values, we're really taking a look at how we make decisions in our lives. So this, I'm hoping by the end, will help all of us make decisions that reflect the life and values of Christ himself. So as the leader of the largest religion in the world, what does Jesus have to say about rule keeping? And here's what he had to say. Compassion over rules. I want to take a look at a couple of stories that illustrate this, and I read a couple more that I could have used this morning, but let's take a look at this one. It starts off like this. The Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony." Now, there was a rule. You wash your hands before you eat. Now, it's not like our rule today where you wash your hands before you eat. We do that out of sanitation. They were doing it out of symbolism. "Nothing impure is entering into me. I am holy. Therefore, I shall wash my hands." That's different. They didn't know about germs and micro whatevers back then. You know what I'm saying? So they had a rule. And here's Jesus' followers, his disciples. They're eating without washing their hands. They were breaking the rule. And someone was calling Jesus on it. "Hey, you better shape these people up. They're not following the rules." So how did Jesus respond? Jesus replied, "You hypocrites." Good start, eh? It's not very politically correct, this Jesus guy. "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition.'" Think about that for a minute. What's he scolding them about? He's scolding them that they use their traditions, their man-made ideas, their rules outside of Scripture, as though God said them himself. Do you think, just a little bit, the church has done this? A little bit? Over the last couple millennia? Maybe, just a little? How many rules do we teach as though God said them himself? Well, if you're uncomfortable now, you just wait till what's coming. Then he said, "You skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own traditions." And then he gives an example. He said, for instance, "Moses gave you this law from God." And this is part of the Ten Commandments. "Honor your father and mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.' In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. And so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is only one example among many others." See, back in those days, parents counted on their children. They didn't have RRSPs. They counted on their children to take care of them. And the Pharisees, the religious people at the time, they said, well, you can sidestep the whole idea of taking care of your parents and honoring your father and mother if you say that money that I'd normally spend on you and give to you, I'm going to hand that over to the temple. I'm going to make that a gift to God. So they can kind of just substitute taking care of their parents and and get rid of the whole honor your father and mother thing. In other words, this rule drove over compassion. Notice what Jesus' concern here was. Needy parents. This was legit. There were people who were going to be hungry and homeless. And Jesus would have none of it. Jesus never said, I came to seek and save man-made rules. Never. Continues on. Another story. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, it was a Saturday, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Now, you know, make sure you keep the Sabbath, keep the seventh day. That was part of the Ten Commandments. But the religious people at the time, they started to expand on this. It got quite ridiculous. And you've probably heard many examples. One of my favorite is the fact that if you take an egg on the Sabbath, you can eat the egg, but then you have to kill a chicken for working on the Sabbath. I kid you not. This is how ridiculous rules can get. Well, what does Jesus do? Jesus said to the man with a deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. I love this. Jesus is going to make a point now. Then he turned to the critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. He just gave them softball questions. These are easy, no-brainer questions. Are we supposed to do good on a Sabbath or evil? And they were so caught up in their rule-keeping, they didn't even want to answer a simple question. They were choosing directions over doing good, guidelines over godliness. And now you're about to see something happen that you only see once in Scripture. This is remarkable. This stands out to me because it is the only time this happens. Watch now. Watch how Jesus reacts. He looked around at them angrily. This is the only time in the Gospels it's recorded that Jesus was angry. Why was he angry? Because rules were coming out over compassion. He was angry and deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and it was restored. At once, did the Pharisees go, yay, someone was healed? No, at once the Pharisees, the religious people, went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. We got to get rid of this guy. He's not following the rules. And this is one of the reasons Jesus is my hero. And he's a hero to many in this room. Because he never put rules above compassion. He loved people. And there's so many examples of this. There were rules back then. A man shouldn't speak to a woman. He did that. You shouldn't speak to a sinful person. Well, the woman at the well, she was shacked up with someone. He spoke to her. You shouldn't hang around with tax collectors. And Jesus went and had, you know, dinner with them. Jesus kept breaking the rules. Why? Because he cared more about people than he cared about keeping the rules. Now keep in mind, when I talk about rules, I'm talking about things that are not in Scripture. Don't want you send a bunch of angry letters this week, okay? All right. So Jesus gave these lessons on rule-keeping, and he rejected rule-keeping. He kept hanging around with people that the religious folk called scum. And then he said this, go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. I often wondered about that. He quoted this verse. This is from the Old Testament. He said, I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifice. I couldn't figure out what he was talking about. So I did a little digging. See, sacrifices were the rule back then. This is how you worshiped. This was expected. But Jesus said there's something even more important than religious activity. Something even more important than keeping the rules. And that's showing mercy, showing compassion. Look deeper. See, compassion needs to come out over rules. Now, I want to share with you the thing about rules. I called it the rules about rules. I thought all week about that. It's pretty clever, right? Yeah, all right. Thank you. All right, now, here's the first rule. Rules are often arbitrary. That's a nice big fancy word that often just means that there's often no logic to them whatsoever. They just come out of nowhere. Here's the thing about rules is they start off as a good idea. And then I'm talking specifically in Christian circles. Someone has a good idea. And then they repeat it and it becomes a habit. Once a habit is repeated a few times, it becomes a tradition. Once a tradition continues on, it becomes a rule. Think about that. A lot of the rules that we have in the church are way back. Someone thought, hey, what if? They're arbitrary. Rules are powerless. Rules don't help us win battles against evil. Did you know that? You can make all kinds of rules with your kids. Doesn't necessarily make them love God more. It doesn't work for us. Only the Holy Spirit transforms a life. Amen? Rules do not. Rules are external. They focus on outward things, but they place no emphasis on changing from the inside out, which is what all followers of Christ are called to do. Right? Right. All right. Rules point us towards ourselves. We are called to love God and serve others, but rules often are just about me and what I can and cannot do. Others are left out of the equation. Rules are often based on fear. The more we believe that we can lose God's love, the more rules we want to make. I'm going to repeat that. The more we think we can lose God's love, the more rules we want to make. And rules often emphasize the negative. They are all about things to avoid, but Jesus spent so much of his time calling us to positive things. Feed the poor, heal the sick, save the lost, love our enemies, do good. So many people think being a follower of Jesus is just about avoiding a whole bunch of stuff. Jesus said, you know, if you spent more time worrying about the things you should do, you'd spend less time worrying about the things you can't do. Now, what I'm about to show you, I'm hoping will be something that you will remember for the rest of your life. I'm very hopeful. I have great faith in my church family. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? How to categorize rules. Here we go. Oh, you can hardly see that. Can you see that? All right. I can barely see that. So, the first category is it's biblical. This actually says it in the Bible. This rule is found there. Things like love your neighbor as yourself. There's no negotiation on that. We're called to do that. Here's the second category. It's wisdom. Now, which means it's not found in the Bible, but there's some merit to it. Like, here's a good rule. Don't join a gang. You're not going to find that in the Bible. But I'm guessing you might agree there's some merit to it. It's a good rule. All right. Third category is a preference. Thank you. It's a preference. Now, my family has a preference rule. And our preference rule goes like this. And this worked especially well when we lived in Slave Lake, which is when we go anywhere other than Slave Lake, we are not allowed to eat in any restaurant that is found in our hometown. Now, it's not in the Bible. I question even the wisdom of it. But it's a preference, okay? It's a preference. Now, you might think that categorizing rules into one of these three things is easy. Let me assure you, it is not. And followers of Jesus have messed this up time and time and time again. We are called to compassion over rules. Now, I want to give you some very practical practice at categorizing rules. I'm a little frightened in doing this, but again, you know, I'm in my first couple months here, and I can do this. So here we go. You determine whether this is biblical, whether this is just wisdom, or whether this is a personal preference. Again, you're all thinking, oh, I got this. Wait. A church building must have a cross on it and or in it. Oh, you say that fast, and I love you for it, buddy. But others in this room are going, oh. Is it biblical? Are you sure? You should be sure. There's nothing in the Bible that says you need to have a cross in your building. Is it wisdom? Some might argue it is wisdom. It identifies us as a Christian church, an organization, all that sort of thing. Here's something to consider. What if you have a very different experience with the cross? Think about this for a second. What if you are familiar with someone wearing a cross coming into your home and taking your children, and they take them to a residential school, and you never see them again? What if you're familiar with someone wearing a cross who sexually assaults you? Now, what's your relationship with the cross? What does it symbolize to you? See how complicated this gets? Now, Christians have generally said this is our preference, but let's keep that in mind, that it's a preference, that if this building had no cross, we could still worship here. Amen? Well, you're still with me. I'm impressed. This is good. Okay, I have hope. Rule number two, you need to close your eyes to pray.
Not when you're driving.
What?
Not when you're driving.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Maybe that should be the addendum on the rule there. Do you need to close your eyes to pray? No. Is it biblical? No. Actually, Jesus, there's a time where Jesus actually looks up to heaven and prays. Looks up to heaven and prays. Is it wise? Well, some might say it's wise because it helps you to focus and all that sort of thing. People like me, though, I gotta say, I prefer to keep my eyes open while I pray. But out of habit and the way I was taught, I often close my eyes. So just know that when you're teaching people to close their eyes to pray, it is a preference. All right. Now, rule number three. A service must have a sermon. Are you sure? Because you would think in Christian circles, this is a biblical rule. You must have a sermon. Now, I must say that in 1 Corinthians 14, and there's not a lot that's given to us that really sets out what we must do in a service, but in 1 Corinthians 14, it says two or three prophets must speak in a church service. I've never seen that. That's actually the rule, but I haven't seen a church that follows that. So we've just said we have a preference to have a sermon. Now, so it's not biblical. Is it wise? I would think so. I hope so. Otherwise, I don't know what I'm doing here. okay. We'll maybe put it in the wise category and leave it because it makes me feel better about myself. Okay, move along. Rule number four. A follower of Jesus needs to celebrate Christmas. I hesitated to even put that one on there, but I thought, okay, let's stir the water a little. Is celebrating Christmas biblical? Oh, no. Okay. Is celebrating Christmas on December 25th biblical? Okay. Thank you for the clarification over in the back there. More points to you. Is it wise? Well, You know, I'm personally of the opinion you should celebrate Christmas every day. And you should celebrate Easter every day. That's me. I'm not saying that's for you, that's just for me. So you might put it under the wisdom category, you might put it under the preference category, but would you be okay if you knew a follower of Jesus who didn't celebrate Christmas? I hope so. It's not a biblical thing. I realize some of your blood pressure is just really high right now. Relax. It's okay. I only have one more. I think you'll make it. Although this one, I don't know. Rule number 5. Divorced people cannot serve the Lord's table. Oh my. Is this a biblical rule? There's some hesitation there. No, it is not a biblical rule. Although I have been very familiar with churches who make a lot of rules about what divorced people can and cannot do that are not found in the Bible. And not just divorced people, but other people in similar circumstances, what they can and cannot do. All kinds of rules that we make up, they're not biblical. And I don't even want to ask if it's wise. Personally, this would not be a rule that I would follow at all. But that's me. So you can figure out whether it's wisdom or it's preference, but we can all agree that it's certainly not biblical. I remember one time in my last church, and I was there not that long, and I had an usher come up to me, and he was very proud. He wanted to tell me what a good job he was doing. And he said, "You know, the other day, I saw some teenagers come in to our church service, and they were wearing baseball caps. And I made sure they knew they could not come in here while wearing baseball caps." And I got to be honest with you, part of me felt sick inside. Because I thought, here are these teenagers coming in to a service to hear about Jesus. And the first thing they're told is, you're not acceptable yet. You need to shape yourself up. You need to look the part. And then come and worship God. What do you think the message there was? I would rather have kids wearing baseball caps, tattoos, I don't care what they got. If they're here, I want them here. There was not nearly enough amen with that. Do you believe you want them here? Yes, yes, absolutely. And yet, there's this rule. Don't come into our building with a baseball cap on. Is that biblical? No, it is not. Where does it say that in the Bible is a powerful question. So what are we to do? Really? I have one thing in response to this message that we need to do. And that is simply repent from putting rules above compassion. I have done it. I have done it many times. I'm ashamed to say I've done it as a pastor many times. And I have hurt people by simply not following Jesus' example in putting compassion above rules. And I'm very confident in saying, if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, you have done it too. At one point or another, you put rules above people. And you've hurt someone. And so all of us need to repent of this practice. Jesus hung around with scum. He valued compassion over rules, mercy over sacrifice. He made the gospel attractive and welcoming. Who would God have you hang around with? I think He would have us hang around the most hated, the most judged, the most cast aside, the most broken people in our city. And I have to include this. Maybe you've been on the receiving end, and someone in the church has hurt you because they were more interested in keeping rules than they were about introducing you to Christ and allowing you to grow. And If that has been your experience, and I bet that's been many of our experiences, as a pastor, I just want to say I'm very sorry. I know I've done it, and I'm very sorry. And it is my hope to live the way Jesus lived, in putting compassion above rules. So please hear me. I offer you a sincere apology that you might have been hurt by Christians who don't follow Christ. We are called to compassion over rules. Imagine a church where this was a value that helped us make all our decisions. Imagine that this is the way we lived our lives, in our workplaces, in our families, in our marriages. Imagine what this would look like in our Sunday school classes, our small groups, if we were way more interested about the people than we were about the rules. I want us as a church to be very familiar with the words, where does it say that in the Bible? I want us to ask it regularly. After the love chapter, the first verse after the love chapter says, let love be your highest goal. How often the church has made the rules the highest goal and not love. May it not be so in the Nanaimo Alliance Church. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I confess to you that I have often put rules above people, and I am ashamed of that. And I know many of us in this room have done the same. Probably all of us in this room have done the same. And so, God, we bring that to you, realizing that we have hurt people, we have broken people because of our own self-righteousness. God, forgive us. Forgive us and heal us. We thank you that in Christ there is full forgiveness. And we embrace that forgiveness this morning. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Michelle's going to come and lead us in a final song.